Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is B'chorois Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 10 lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. Before we begin the Shiur, let us take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer. That's the Gemara that you see on your screen, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and that is the topic headings and structural notes that appear in the outside margin from time to time. The topic headings are referred to by the term Nosei, and structural notes will be referred to by the term Mivneh. In this case, our Nosei heading says, Birur, a clarification, Mahi Kavonas HaMishnah, what is the intent of the Mishnah, Baha Dikotoni, regarding that which it says in the Mishnah, Nolad Lo Mum, and it said, La'achar Shnosoi, Eino Rashoi L'kaimo Elo Ad Shloishim Yoim. The Mishnah makes reference to a blemish appearing on a firstborn male animal, and it makes reference to some type of restriction of keeping it around for more than 30 days. Hani Shloshim Yoim. The reference here to the 30 days that the Mishnah makes, Anolad Mum Toshna, so is this a reference to a mum that develops within the first year of the animal's life? Oi Anolad Mum Achar Shnosa, or is it a reference to the appearance of a blemish after the animal has lived a year? In other words, after it's passed its first birthday. As we go on in the Gemara itself, we will learn this sugya alongside with the Rashi. My feeling is that the details are very fine, and in order to see the distinctions, we will only be able to achieve that by carefully learning the Rashi as well. So, we now turn to the Gemara. 10 lines from the top. Actually, before that, we can look at the Dibur HaMaskil, which is just 2 lines above that, which says, Nolad loy mum besoich shnosoi, rashoi l'kaimoi kol shneim osor chodesh. The Mishnah had said, if a mum develops within its first year, one is allowed to keep the animal around for 12 months. La'achar shnosoi, eino rashoi l'kaimo elo ad shloshim yom. After a year, one is allowed to keep it only up till 30 days. And now the Gemara asks the question. And you'll notice that this is a long question marking. It's a long question by, as is illustrated by our long question marking, the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line indicates that all of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the question. It's also presented in an Aleph Oy Dilma Beis fashion. And you'll notice the markings that are appropriate for this. The Aleph appears on this line, and then 2 lines later, the squiggle underlined Oy Dilma expression, and followed by a Beis. 2 sides of the question. The Gemara, Ibai Aloho, Hechi Ka'omar. The question is raised, how is the Mishnah speaking? What is it saying? Noilad loy mum besoich shnoso, if a blemish appears within its first year, rashoi lekaimoi kol shneimosor chodesh, ula'achar shnosoi nami shloshim yom. Are we to understand that if a mum develops within its first year of life, you can keep the animal around for a full 12 months and an additional 30 days after that year? Oy dilmo, or possibly, hecha denolad boy mum besoich shnosoi, when a blemish develops within its first year of life, rashoi l'kaimei kol shneim osor chodesh, v'suloi. One would be allowed to keep the animal around from the point that the mum developed for 12 months, but not any longer than that. V'hecha denolad boi mum achar shnosoi. And when a mum develops after the animal lived a year, eino rashoi l'kaimo elo shloshim yom. Then the 30 day period of time kicks in, namely when a mum develops after its first year, then one is allowed to keep it for an additional 30 days. In other words, according to the second side of the possibility, the 30 day phenomenon is something, the keeping around for 30 days exists only in the case that the mum developed after its first year of life. Before going further in the Gemara, let us take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi that we will be looking at, you'll notice in the upper part of the narrow lines, about the sixth narrow line, he says, "Ula'achar shnosoi nami shloshim yoim." This comment of Rashi is going on the first side of the two possibilities of this question. Afal gav, denolad hamum besoch shnoso, even though the blemish appeared within its first year of life, tuva, meaning a while back in. In other words, it wasn't even near being a year of age. So that if, let us say, after when the animal was 7 months of age, this side is saying that you would be able to keep the animal around not only till its first birthday, but an additional 30 days. The next Rashi says, Kol Shneimosor Chodesh. This is going on the second side of the possibility, of the two possibilities of the question. Ad Shiulo Shneimosor Chodesh Mishenoilad Hamum. The idea of keeping it around for a year means a year from when the mum developed, and not any more than that. The next Rashi, Hecha denolad bo mum, and this is continuing in the second side of the two sides of the question, where a mum developed la'achar shnoso, the first appearance of the mum is after its year of age. Rashoy l'kaimu shloshim yoim mishenolad hamum. De la'achar shnoso de masnisen, the expression of la'achar shnoso, hochi ko'omar, v'im la'achar shnoso noilad hamum, if the mum appeared after it reached a year of age, yikaimenu shloshim yoim. So that, according to the second side of the question, the Mishnah is understanding the term lachar shnoso as referring to the first appearance of the blemish as appearing after its year of age. According to the first side of the question, the lachar shnoso was not going on the appearance, the point at which the mum appeared. According to the first side of the question, the mum appeared even within its first year of life, and you would be able to keep it around an additional 30 days after it reached a year of age. We now turn to the Gemara to resolve this issue. So we try to resolve this with bringing in sources. You could see they're introduced by the expression toshma with a triangle around them. You see one over here, and you see a few lines later another one. And this is indicated under our mivne heading on the side, in which we've written, this is nisyonos liyashev. Hashela Hanal. These are attempts to resolve the question raised above under our no say heading. The Gemara. Toshma, Disanya. And you can see we have a Tanaic source, as is illustrated by the frame around the upcoming lines. In our Gemara marking system, we attempt to frame off all Tanaic sources. The source says, Bechor bizman hazeh, a Bechor nowadays, where there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no option of bringing it as a sacrifice, Ad shelo nira lahar oisu l'chacham, until it became appropriate to show it to an expert on blemishes, namely, the point at which it has not become appropriate to show it means it hasn't developed a blemish. So, Rashoi l'kaimo shtayim v'sholoshonim, you can keep the animal around 2-3 years. It hasn't developed a blemish, so there's nothing else you can really do with it. Can't work with it, can't shear it, so there's no limitation about how long you keep it around. We should point out that the Bechor has a sanctity to it, but since there's no Beis HaMikdash, so there's no option of exhibiting or relieving the sanctity through its being brought as a korban. Now, the next point, Umishanira laharoisoi luchachom, noilad loimum, the expression mishenira laharos l'chocha means a blemish developed, so it's now appropriate to bring it to a mum, a blemish expert, and a mum developed. Besoch shnasoi rashoi l'kaimoi kol shneim osor chodesh. Within its first year, you can keep it around for 12 months. Achar shnasoi eino rashoi l'kaimoi afilu yoim echod v'afilu sho achas. The Havamina right now, but this will be subject to a discussion in the Gemara itself in a moment. The Havamina is that this section is going on the case where a mum developed within its first year. So that the Brisa is telling us that you can't keep it after its year of age. Even for a moment, avol mitnei hashavas aveda lebailim omru rashoi lekaimoi shloishim yom. However, so as not to cause a loss to the owner, so we say he's allowed to keep it for another 30 days. Before we go into the Gemara, let's try to understand before we go further in the Gemara, let's try to understand what the intent of bringing this source was. And this we can discover by learning the Rashi. Rashi says, we're looking at the Rashi opposite the point at which the Hagoy Sabach begins. Achar shnosoi, eino rashoi lekaimoi, afilu yoim echod. The kosaka daitoch, the thinking right now, which is subject to change later, but the thinking right now is anoilad boimum besoich shnosoi koi. The expression in this source that referred to achar shnoso is going on a case where the mum developed within its first year of life, the katani, and it says avol mitnei hashavas aveda lebailim dahainu koyhen, because of our concern of the owner. In the case of a Bechor, the designed owner is the Kohen. Skipping a couple lines in the Rashi, at the bracketed section. So because of this concern of Hashavas Aveda Labailim, Omru Rashoi L'Kaimoi Shloishim Yoim, that it's in order to benefit the Kohen, we allow it to be maintained for another 30 days. And once again, this is going on the case, we think, of the mum having developed within its first year of life. And we're now saying that after its first year, after it reaches its first birthday, you can keep it around another 30 days. Ve'i lo'i mishkach kohen, if you can't find a kohen to present this now blemished bechor to, shochto umolchel ad sheyimtzo kohen. You can slaughter it and then preserve it through salting the meat until you find a kohen to give it to. Alma shloishim yom dikomar, according to this approach, the 30 days figure is anoilad mum besoich shnosokoi. The 30 days is going on a case where the mum appeared within its first year of life. And that would be like the first of the two sides of the question that we raised, that the Gemara raised at the beginning. However, the Gemara is not totally satisfied. The Gemara says when you read this source, you'll still have a doubt like we originally had. In other words, looking at this source, we're not really gaining any greater clarity than we had when we learned the Mishnah. So now, we continue in the Gemara. Va'adayin tiboyali. But still, this Bryce itself, there is room for doubt. There's room for thinking that the expression of la'achar shnosoi eino rashoi l'kaimoi that we saw in the source is really going on a case of the mum developing after its first year of life. So here the Gemara raises the doubt. Vadayati boyali shloishim yoim achar shnosoi oidilmo koidem shnosoi. The 30 days that are referred to in this source, is that a reference to the appearance of the mum after its year of life or within its first year of life? Let us take a look now at the Rashi. Across from here, Rashi, Vadayan Tiboya, the Braisa Gufa, Iko Lisfuka. The Braisa itself, there's room for doubt. The Iko Lameimar, there is room to say, Ha de Kotoni, La'acha Shnoso, Ein Rashoi, Lekaimo, Vichule, Vichule meaning etc. Where the Bryce had said, after its first year of life, you can't keep it even a moment. However, because of our concern over the Hashavas Aveda Labailim, our concern of the Kohen getting his gift, you can keep it 30 days. The Hochi Ko'omar, maybe it's saying as follows. Noilad loy mum la'achar shnosoi. If the mum developed after its first year of life, ein rashoi l'kaimoi, you can't keep it around v'chule, even a day, v'allah koi avol mitnei hashavas aveda, and on that the concern of the Kohen's welfare was brought up, namely a case where the mum developed after its first year of life. Oi dilma koidem shnosa klomar, maybe the expression of the Brisa, where it said la'achar shnoso, you can't keep it around, is klomar im nolad mum koidem shnoso nami ko'omar, even in a case where the mum developed before its first year of life. It also says the la'achar shnoso shloishim yoim, that even though the mum developed within its first year of life, you can keep it around an additional 30 days. So, as we said, the braisa that was just brought itself is a bit vague, and therefore, toshma, we continue with another source. Nolad loy mum b'chamisho osor yoim b'soich shnosoi. A blemish appeared 15 days before the animal's first birthday. Mashlimin loy chamisho osor yoim achar shnoso. The owner or the animal is kept around an additional 15 days. It's kept around and cared for an additional 15 days. Shma mino. This is conclusive. Well, you'll ask, it's conclusive of what conclusive in what direction? So Rashi here clarifies. Mashlimin loy chamishosor achar shnoso. We're reading in the Rashi now. Alma, from this we see shloishim yoim dekotoni masnisin, the 30-day figure that the Mishnah taught, anoilad boy mum la'achar shnoso koi. This idea of keeping an animal around for 30 days as a result of the mum can only be referring to the case of a mum that developed after its first year of life. De'i noilad hamum b'soich shnoso, had the mum developed within its first year of life, afilu yoim echad, even if it were one day before the end of its first year of life, leko lemeimar denesiv le achar shnoso shloshim yom. At this point, we now conclude definitively that you can't say we're going to give it another 30 days. The less lay elo hashlama, in a case that a mum developed within its first year, then there's no 30-day discussion. All there is there's a completion of 30 days. Make up the difference. Kidikani b'braisa, as it taught here in this braisa, where it described the case of a mum developing 15 days before its first birthday. So, you see, this is a case of nolad lo mum tol shnaso, but there's no block of 30 days that he is going to get in that case. There's a balance of 15 days that he'll receive, but no more than that. V'shaminon mino, Rashi goes on, de'i besoch shnaso nolad mum, if a mum had developed within its first year of life, chodesh o shloshe chadoshim, rashoy the kaimu ad shnaso, if it developed a month, 3 months before its first year of life, you can keep it but around and care for it up till 1 year. The Hoksiv Shana, the Pasuk itself makes a reference to the word a year. V'i la'achar shana noilad mum, oy korov l'siyum shnaso, if after its first year of life a blemish developed or close to the completion of its year, yavinon lei shloishim yoim mishenolad hamum, we give him 30 days of keeping around and caring for the Bechor from the point that the Mum developed. But no more than that. So that if, according to our conclusion, if a Mum developed close to the end of its first year of life, he'll get 30 days from the point that the Mum developed. It might spill over into its second year of life, but that's only because the Mum appeared within 30 days of its first birthday. There is a case of it getting 30 days after its first year of life, but that's only when the mum made its initial appearance after the animal's first year. So, just to repeat the main conclusion, as we saw in the Rashi, that which it says in the Braisa, or that which it says in the Mishnah, that we give him 30 days for because of the mum, that is only a case where the mum developed after its first year of life. For if the mum developed within its first year of life, there isn't going to be a block of 30 days given to him because of the mum. There is the at that point, if it's more than 30 days before its first birthday, then he'll be able to keep it around up till its first year of life. And if it's within 30 days of its first birthday, he'll be given extra days, but only to complete the balance of 30 days from the point that the mum appeared. But a block of 30 days because of the appearance of the mum, that case arises only in a case where the mum appeared after its first year of life. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a little aleph to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and a couple lines later, a squiggle under an expression, Iko Diamri, accompanied by a bays, also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you will notice we have a little aleph and bays, and they are Shnei Lishonos Rebelozer, two versions in presenting Rebbe Lazar, the inyan nesinas shloishim yoim lamum shenolad bevachor, regarding the issue of the 30 days that is granted to additional care for a bechor as a result of a blemish appearance. So the first approach suggests that what we have said till now is misayeya le Rebbe Lazar, can be offered as a support to Rebbe Lazar. The Omar Rebbe Lazar, Noislim lo shloishim yoim mishah shenoilad boy mum. We will give him a block of 30 days from the point that the mum appears. Well, that fits in with what we just said before, that the idea of giving a block of 30 days for a mum, that happens if you have a mum that developed after its first year of life. And that's what Rebbe Lozer is saying, that we give him 30 days from the point the mum appeared, in a case where a mum appeared after its first year of life. Iko di Amri, another approach with regard to Rebbe Lozer, is Omer Rebbe Lozer, Minayin lebechor, shenoilad boy mum, besoich shnosoi. From where do we know that a bechor on which a blemish appeared within its first year of life, shenoisim lo shloishim yom achar shnoso, that we give him a block of 30 days after its first year of life. Notice with our emphasis, both in intonation and that which we dashed underline, this is something different than that which we had said before in terms of a conclusion. This Rebbe Elazar is saying that a mum that appeared within its first year of life, he'll get a block of 30 days to keep the animal around and be cared for even after its first year, and an additional 30 days after its first year of life. Shenemar, lifnei Hashem Elokecha teichlenu shana b'shana. That is the pasuk, and what does Rebbe Elazar see in this pasuk? Eizehu, what is that case of shana b'shana? Eluhain yomim hachashuvin shana. This is a reference to a block of days, even though it's less than a year, but it's nevertheless considered a year. Heve omer elu shloshim yom. Well, we know in other areas of halacha that 30 days is viewed as a year. Rashi points out that this is featured at the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So, based on the pasuk that says shana b'shana, which sounds like 2 years, what is the case of a bechor being left around for this amount of time, which is really a year and 30 days? And Rebbe Elazar says that is the case of a mum developing within its first year. You're allowed to keep it around for another 30 days after its first year, those 30 days representing a second year. Well, that's what Rebbe Elazar says. Now, on this we ask, Meisvei, nolad lo mum b'chamisho so yom b'sof shnoso. A mum appears, a blemish appears 15 days before the completion of its first year. And here's an example of Besoch Shnoso. This is a scenario that Rebbe Elazar was addressing, is it not? Now, what does it say in this source regarding Besoch Shnoso? And by the way, with our markings, we've dashed underlined the expression Besoch Shnoso that Rebbe Elazar used and the appearance of the expression here. What does it say in the source? Mashlimin lo chamisho sur yom achar shnoso. We give him a balance of 15 days after its first year to complete a 30-day figure. Hashlomo in mehavo lo. Hashlomo is to complete, to fill up the balance. That in, yes. In means yes. However, mehavo lo, but mehavo to give him a block of 30 days, that no. Well, what did Rebbe Elazar say about a case of nolad lo mum besoch shnoso? He said we give him a block of 30 days after its first year. So this source is tiyufta to Rebbe Elazar. Is this a refutation of Rebbe Elazar? Tiyufta, yes, it is a refutation. So as you can see from the tail end of the Gemara, the Gemara's understanding of the Tanaic sources is very clear. It's the case of a block of 30 days being given to keep an animal, a bechor, around because of a mum, that's only in the case that the mum appears after its first year of life. But a mum that appears within the animal's first year of life, there isn't any block of 30 days that he's given, but it will end up being less. And hence, the first lashon of Rebbe Elazar is supported by the sources, because the first lashon of Rebbe Elazar said that a block of 30 days will be given in a case that the mum appears after its first year of life. According to the second version of Rebbe Elazar, a block of 30 days because of a mum will be given even in a case where the mum appeared within its first year of life. And that approach is not supported, but rather refuted by the Tanaic source. Now we continue with a new Mishnah. On the outside margin under our No Say heading, we have written Hamar'eh mum l'chocham achar shchitas habachor. This is a new situation where the firstborn male animal is slaughtered, and apparently it had a blemish on its body, but the blemish was not shown to a blemish expert until after the animal was slaughtered. That's not the normal procedure. The normal procedure is we don't slaughter a bechor until, of course, we're talking about outside the Beis HaMikdash, or, you know, nowadays when there is no korban option, the standard procedure is to first establish that it's a baal mum by having it certified as such by a blemish expert. But this Mishnah features a case where the order of events was reversed. The Mishnah, Hashochet HaBachor, a firstborn male animal is slaughtered, Umare Es Mumo, and then after its slaughtering, its blemish is presented for inspection to the blemish expert, and it turns out to be a mum kavuot. It turns out to be a permanent type blemish. Permanent, this is as opposed to a transitory blemish, which does not give license for slaughtering a bechor, but a permanent blemish would. In this case, it was discovered to have had a permanent type blemish, but once again, only the discovery or the inspection and certification took place after the animal was slaughtered. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, he says, okay, it's all right, we can allow the meat to be eaten. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hoyo v'nishchat shaloi al pi mumche osur, since the slaughtering took place without a prior expert certification, the bechor, the meat, is forbidden. Mi she'eno mumche v'rasa bechor, someone who is a non-certified blemish expert who inspects a mum, the blemish of a firstborn male animal, v'nishchat al piv, and based on his ruling, bearing, once again, he's a non-expert, based on his ruling that what he saw, he rules as a permanent blemish, harei ze yikover v'yishale mibeso. The animal is to be buried, and he must offer compensation out of his pocket. Omar Rabo Bar Barchana, Bedukin Sheba'ayin de Kule Alma Lo Pligi de Osir. Dukin Sheba'ayin is a type of eye phenomenon where there is a type of rill or an appearance of a streak in the eye, a white streak in the eye, and everyone will agree that the premature slaughtering, namely prior to expert certifying that this Dukin Sheba'ayin is a real Dukin Sheba'ayin, if it's slaughtered before the certification, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, the animal is forbidden. Bipnei Shehein Mishtanin, because Dukin Sheba'ayin, what may appear to be a real Dukin Sheba'ayin after it was slaughtered, if it had been viewed and inspected while it was alive, it would not have appeared to be a problem. You'll ask, well, how can that be? When it's alive, it looks like one thing, and when it's dead, it looks like something else. The answer is yes. Apparently, at the point of life departure, the point of slaughtering, the eye undergoes changes. So let us look at the Rashi Mishtanin. Mitnei tsar misa, because of the pain of death, Mishtana ho'ayin, the eye changes. The afal gav, the hashto mischazi kavua, even though right now, after it's been slaughtered, after it's dead, it may appear to be a permanent type of dukin sheba'ayin, yavichazi le'mechaim, if it had been inspected while it was alive, have mischazi over, it would have appeared different, it would have appeared transitory. And as we've mentioned earlier, transitory blemishes do not serve as grounds for licensing their slaughter. So as far as Dukin Sheba'ayin is concerned, that would not be the point of controversy expressed in the Mishnah. Loi nechluku elo b'mumin shebaguf. The machlokis in the Mishnah about allowing a post facto expert certification will arise only in things that are body-type blemishes. Rashi gives an example, a cracked ear, where the animal's ear has a crack in it. That's something that doesn't undergo change during its slaughter. So that if you see an animal after it's been slaughtered with a crack in its ear, you can rest assured that that crack was there prior to its slaughtering, and the crack is, in fact, a permanent-type blemish. However, it's at this point that we have the machlokas. The Rebbe Meir, who was restrictive, holds Gazrina Mumin Shebaguf Otu Dukin Shebayin. We will prohibit the animals slaughtered with a bodily blemish, even though it doesn't undergo change, in anticipation or because of the case of Dukin Shebayin, where everyone agrees the premature slaughter will render it forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda, who is lenient, Savar Lo Gazrinon Mumin Shebaguf Otu Dukin Shebayin, that we don't impose a restriction on other kinds of blemishes, other body blemishes, in anticipation of the Dukin Shebayin problem. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbo Bar Bachano's teaching. Hashochias of Hor Umara Es Mumo, a person who first slaughtered and only after that showed the mum for inspection. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bedukin Shebayin Osir, Bipnei Shehen Mishtanin. With regard to the eye phenomenon of Dukin Shebayin, that will be prohibited because it was slaughtered prematurely. And the reason for that is because Dukin Shebayin could actually have undergone a change. But Mumin Shebaguf Mutter, Bipnei Shehen Mishtanin. The premature slaughter in the case of other body blemishes will not render the meat forbidden. Rather, it's allowed because those blemishes don't undergo any change anyway. Rabbi Meir Omer Echad Zeh Vechad Zeh Osir Mipnei Shehein Mishtanin. Now, this last expression is very hard to understand. Rabbi Meir just said both Dukin Shebayin and body blemishes are reason for forbidding in the case of a premature slaughter because they undergo change. Yeah, but Mipnei Shehein Mishtanin Sakadaitoch, can you really think because they undergo change? Mumin Shebaguf Mimishtanin, but do body blemishes undergo change at the point of death? Certainly not. Elo, rather the more accurate reading would be Mipnei Hamishtanin. Because of the Dukin Shebaayin, which do undergo change, we therefore forbid all cases of premature slaughter. So you can see that, as Rabba Bar Bachana said, it's only surrounding the other Mumin that we have a Tanaic controversy, and that's what this source is telling us. Omar of Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Masnisin Nami Daika, we're now at the top of Chof Ches Omid Beis. By careful reading of the Mishnah, you can see that the controversy surrounds Mumin Shebaguf. But with regard to Dukin Shebayin, everyone would agree that it's forbidden if one slaughtered it before expert certification. Now, how do you see this by careful reading of our Mishnah? It says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Hoyol v'nishchat sheloi al pi mumche oser. Rabbi Meir says that, well, the only reason that we are forbidding the case, the animal, is because it was slaughtered without an expert certification. So what's Rabbi Meir referring to? Is he referring to the case of Dukin Shebayin? No, because if he were talking about the case of Dukin Shebayin, it should have said Rabbi Meir Oser because they are Mishtanin, because they undergo change. But he doesn't say that. So obviously he is referring to even those Mumin that don't undergo change, and the only problem is that he slaughtered it as a result of lacking the expert certification. So we see that that's Rebbe Meir's position, as opposed to the Chachomim, who would not have forbidden other bodily Mumin, because they don't make this Gezerah. Shma Mino, Knosso Kokonis Rebbe Meir. Shma Mino. We see from here that Rebbe Meir's prohibition is a fine based, a Knas, where we are restrictive in other cases in anticipation of the Dukin Shebayin case. The Gemara now wants to focus on a detail in terms of terminology. The Gemara will be referring to the expression Mipnei Shemishtanin on Amud Aleph. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Amud Aleph. You parallel that with the arrow on Amud Aleph toward the bottom, three lines from the bottom. You notice there had been an expression where Rabbi Meir said, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh osur mitnei shehein mishtanin. And then we for greater accuracy, we should correct our marking and indicate the last line of Amud Aleph, not three lines from the bottom, but the last line of Amud Aleph, where you see the Gemara had said that Rabbi Meir forbids all of them, body blemishes as well as Dugan Shabayim, Mipnei Hamishtanin. That expression now is focused upon in the Gemara. Ibaya Laho. The Gemara asks, Mipnei Hamishtanin, the Kulhu Mishtani, the Dukan Shiba'ayin, are they to be understood as something that definitely undergoes change at the point of slaughter, at the point of death, and that all Dukan Shiba'ayin undergo change? Oidilma Iko de Mishtani, the Iko de Lo Mishtani. Or is it so that there are some dukin that undergo change and there's some dukin that don't undergo change? Lamai nafgamina, of what halachic difference or bearing does this analysis have? What difference does it make whether you say all dukins definitely undergo change or some undergo change and some do not? The practical outcome of knowing this information is la'akhushi sahadi. This would be in order to prove as false or to contradict witnesses that testify that they notice the dukin shibayin on a particular animal is the same as it was when it was still alive. So if Edom come and testify that a particular slaughtered b'chor has a dukin shibayin that did not undergo any change. And these are Edom that are testifying in a case of a Bechor that was slaughtered without prior expert certification, and they're telling us testimony that this is the same as that which appeared when the animal was still alive. Are these witnesses truthful witnesses? E amres kulhu mishtani shakrininu. If you say as a fact that all dukin shibayin undergo change as a result of shchita, then these witnesses are lying. They're telling us it didn't undergo change when physiologically we would conclude that all undergo change. The e amres ikud mishtani ikud lo mishtani. If you say that there are those that do undergo change and there are some that don't undergo change, so then samchinon alayu, we will rely on these two witnesses and allow the bechor. This is a bechor that was not slaughtered with prior expert certification. We will allow it based on shitas Rabbi Yehuda that doesn't impose a knas, who doesn't impose a fine. My. So the question is, once again, is presented, how are we to understand the phenomenon of Dukin Shibayin, primarily that which was referred to by the Gemara at the bottom of Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Meir had mentioned, Mitnei Hamishtanin. Toshma. So the Gemara answers this, and you'll notice we've assigned a long answer marking to this, a tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Toshma, the Omar Rabo, Bar Chana Omer Rabbi Yochanan Soch Li Rabbi Yoshio de Min Usha. So we're told in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that he was informed by Rabbi Yoshio from Usha. Usha is the name of a place. Bo Ve'ereich Bedukin Shehein Mishtanin. He says, come, I want to show you how the Dukin changes. From the fact that he said, come and see, I want to show you something. It must be that he was trying to show him a unique situation, namely that there are some that undergo change and some that do not. So he wanted to show him one of those that underwent a change as a result of the shechita. So as a result of taking this approach, if you have witnesses that would come and tell us that the Dukin Shibayin that we see now on this slaughtered animal, slaughtered without prior expert certification, this is the same as that which it had when the animal was still alive. We could rely on them. We're allowed to rely on them. Continuing in the Gemara, Mi she'eino mumche v'rosa b'chor v'nishchar al piv, hare ze yikover. The Mishnah said that if a non-expert issued a ruling that a blemish was a permanent blemish and it was then slaughtered based on his ruling, the animal is rendered unfit. So the Gemara asks, Lemo tnan stamo k'Rebbi Meir. Should we say that we have a Stam Mishnah, an unnamed Tanaic source? Stam Mishnah is a Mishnah without a name in it, which, generally speaking, carries legal significance and serves as a legal precedent. So we have a Mishnah reflecting Rebbe Meir, because the Mishnah said, it shall be buried even though it is found to be a permanent blemish. What did we have over here? Let's just go over the case again. A Bechor was slaughtered after hearing the ruling of a non-expert. And the Mishnah ruled, well, too bad, it's got to be buried. Well, that would sound like Shitas Rebbe Meir that said, any case where an animal is slaughtered without prior certification, prior proper certification, even though it's found to have a permanent blemish after it's been slaughtered, it still cannot be used. So it would seem that this Stam Mishnah backs up Shitas Rebbe Meir. Because Rabbi Yehuda, in the same case, would have said it's mutter. The Gemara says no, we can't come to a conclusion that this Mishnah reflects only Rabbi Meir. Dilma b'dukin sheba'ayin v'divrei kol. It could be that the Mishnah here is referring to a non-mumche, a non-expert, giving a ruling concerning a dukin sheba'ayin case. And in that situation, everyone agrees that the animal shall be buried, that it cannot be allowed if it didn't have a prior expert certification that the Dukin was a permanent one when it was alive. The Mishnah had said, Vishalim mi beso. This non-expert who issued a ruling of leniency, of allowance, must pay out of pocket. Tona, kishu mishalem, mishalem revia ledaka, umechzo legasa. When he pays, he doesn't pay the full value of the animal. Let us not forget, there is an element of doubt. Maybe, had an expert seen it, he would have ruled that in fact it is a real blemish in accordance with the ruling of this non-expert. On the other hand, there is the possibility that an expert, had he inspected it, would have ruled that it's a non-permanent blemish and no one would have been able to benefit from this Bechor anyway. So the source tells us that when payment is made to the Kohen, who is the ultimate loser in this case, he receives revia ladak, a quarter of its value, if it's a sheep or goat that was slaughtered, or half its value if it was a large animal, an ox, for example. The Gemara asks, "My Taima, why is there this double standard? Why is there a difference in rate when it comes to the ruling concerning a behema daka, sheep goat, versus the behema gasa?" To answer this, we have two approaches. That is, first of Rav Papa and then Rav Huna Bar Manoach. Omar Rav Papa, Zeh Hefsid Merubah, Vzeh Hefsid Muat. the amount of loss suffered by the owner is greater, meruba, when it comes to an ox, a large animal, as opposed to the amount of loss experienced with regard to a small animal. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if you're basing this difference between large versus small, you didn't have to change the percentages. Lefum pseido lishalem, based on the value itself. In other words, half the value of a large animal is a lot of money. Half the value of a small animal is less money. How do you explain the difference in percentages? 25% versus 50%. Omar Rav Huna bar Manoch Mishmei de Rav Acha bar Ika Mishum Gzeiras Megadle Behema Daka Nagu Ba. The reason that the Kohen will receive only 25% of its value in the case of Behema Daka is because of this, something called Gzeiras Megadle Behema Daka. Rashi has two explanations regarding this. If we glance at the Rashi who's found further down on the Omid, further down on the page, Rashi, Mishum Gzeras Megadle Behema Daka Noguba, Mishum Torach Megadle Behema Daka, Sheesh Bo Torach Gidul Legadla. If the Kohen were presented with the Behema Daka, there's a lot of effort that one expends in caring for it. V'zeh shehitir habachor, the non-expert in this case that allowed it to be slaughtered, hitzila l'kohen mitorach gidol. He's saved the kohen. He's prevented the kohen from undergoing all the expenditure of energy and resources for the care. D'shema im her'eu le'acher lo hoya matiro lo. Had it been shown to someone else, to an expert, he may not have allowed it. The Kohen would have had to expend a lot of care, which involves time and money, until a mum eventually would appear. So as a result of this, we'll call it improper ruling, well, the animal was slaughtered and the Kohen didn't have to expend all of those expenditures. Lahachi nagu ba delo mishalim elo ravia. Therefore, since the Kohen is saving money, so to speak, anyway, so he doesn't deserve any more than a quarter of its value. You'll ask, well, if he's getting only a quarter, so isn't the Kohen losing out? No, because he's gaining in all the money saved that would have had to been expended had someone else, an expert, ruled that it's not a mum. Lishno achrina. The reason that the coin deserves only 25% of its value is she'ofrim al divrei chachamim. The rabbis had ruled k'disnab ovakama ein megadlin behema daka b'eretz Yisrael. One is not to raise in Israel small animals, the sheep and goats. Konsu chachamim delo lishkal el ariva, because here you have someone raising a sheep or goat. He's in violation of this rabbinic restriction. Therefore, he's fined, and he gets therefore only 25%. It's not within the context of this particular shir that we are going to expound on the issue of the gzeras behema megadli behema daka, but only it all of that's something that you can see more about in Maseches Bava Kama, as Rashi referred. But for our purposes, one is just to realize that raising Behema Daka in settled areas is something that is forbidden to do, and hence, since we're dealing with a Behema Daka, the Kohen will receive only 25% of its value. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin and we see our nosei topic heading, Mi she'enoi mumcha l'rabim, someone who has not been certified as an expert regarding judicial procedure and judgment. someone who is not, who hasn't received certification, upasak psika muteis, and he issued an incorrect ruling, tzorach l'shalem ibeso, he has to compensate the wronged party. Now the Mishnah, don esadin, ziko esachaya v'chiv esazakai. Someone was ruling, and he exonerated someone who's really guilty, or he found guilty someone who's really exempt. Time esator v'tir esatome, or he was metame, he declared as ritually impure something that doesn't deserve to be described thusly, but rather is pure as tor, or he was metayer esatome, he declared tor something that really is tome. Masha also asui v'shalimi beso. What's done is done. In other words, we're not able to reverse the ruling. However, compensation must be made out of his pocket. V'im hoya mumche l'rabim, poter milashalim. If the one who issued this ruling was certified as a public expert, he is exempt from having to pay. In the case where someone was a mumche lebezdin, so the wrong party can't say, why did you judge the case? Well, after all, you're not an expert. Well, he is an expert. That's why he was allowed to judge the case. So from this we see that when there is an obligation to pay out of pocket, it's because he shouldn't have ruled because he really wasn't an expert. The Gemara's role at this point is explained under our Nosei topic heading, Hamodas HaMishnah Delo K'Rabbi Meir D'Don Dina D'Garmi. We're going to set up the Mishnah not necessarily like Rabbi Meir. In other words, we're not going to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, who ruled that even in non-direct damage cause, there is payment, but rather because of what's called dina de garmi, causing damage without physically inflicting it. Rabbi Meir, in such a case, says that there is financial obligation. Rather, Elo shemedubar benosa venosam biyad. Our Gemara will set up the Mishnah as referring to a judge who actually physically caused the damage, not a residual damage as a result of his ruling. Let us see the Gemara. Lema, should we say, Tnan Stamo, we have a Stam Mishnah we mentioned earlier in our shiur today. A Stam Mishnah is something that is a nameless Mishnah, and they appear as an expression of something authoritative. So should we say that our Stam, or hence authoritative Mishnah, is ruling Karebi Meir? The Doin Dina de Garmi. Doin Dina de Garmi means he rules as guilty. Guilty meaning guilty and having to pay in cases of Garmi. Garmi in general has to do with something that's, we'll say, a residual type damage that results, as opposed to something that's a direct physically imposed damage. For example, someone taking a ball and throwing it through a glass window, smashing the window, that's a physical direct damage. A legal ruling that, as a result of a legal ruling, something is then declared as unfit or worthy of loss, there you didn't have a physical direct damage imposed. This rather is classified as garmi. Rashi cites a different case. He cites a situation where someone owned a vineyard and there was a wall between the vineyard and grains growing on the other side. The presence of the wall prevents the iser, the prohibition of kilayim, from setting in. Kilayim meaning mixed breeding or intermingling of species. In the event that the wall between the vineyard and the grain field fell, the owner of the vineyard is expected to rebuild that wall. Let's say he doesn't rebuild the wall, and in the course of time, the vines then grow without this separation between themselves and the grains. Rabbi Meir says that he, the owner of the vineyard, because he doesn't build the fence, will be guilty. Now, you can't say that the owner of the vineyard physically damaged the neighbor's grains. That would have been chayav, according to all opinions. But the damage did result as a result of the non-action of rebuilding the fence. Rabbi Meir says even cases like that, one will be held guilty. And when we say guilty, we have to add, that means guilty of and needing to offer restitution. So our Mishnah, which seems to describe damage resulting from a legal ruling and not a direct act of sabotage or of ruination, that is chayev as well. That is guilty of well. As well, guilty, and as we said, he must offer restitution. So we have a Stam Mishnah that would seem to support Rabbi Meir. The Gemara responds, Omar Ilo Omarav, Kegoin Shenosa Venosan Biyad. The Mishnah is describing not just a mere legal ruling, but an action that was done to illustrate or to support the ruling. That's Nosa Venosan Biyad. At this point, the Gemara now analyzes the different circumstances alluded to in the Mishnah, to try to understand it in the context of Nosa v'Nosam Biyad. The Gemara goes on, Bishlama Chiyei v'Zazakai. I can understand that where a judge ruled that someone who is really exempt or innocent, not needing to pay, is Chayav. Where this is not just an oral ruling, but rather Kegoin Shenosa v'Nosam Biyad, where the judge took money from someone who's really zakai, but he says, you are chayav, when he's really innocent, where the judge took the money from party A and gave it to party B. Ela ziko es hachayav hechi domi. The case of exonerating someone who is really obligated, who's guilty, who's indebted. How do you have a case of Nosa v'Nosa Biyad in such a case of Zika es Hachayev? E di Omarle Poterato. If the judge simply said, you are innocent, or you are exempt, you are not in debt. Well, v'holo Nosa v'Nosa Biyad. Well, that's not an illustration of physical physicality. Of an action done. Omar Ravina. So Ravina explains, Kegoin Shohoya Loi Mashkoin. A person had loaned money, and he's called the Malve, and the Malve had been presented collateral, a Mashkoin, a security. Someone had owed money to the Malva, and the borrower offered the Malva a golden wristwatch. Vinotloi Hemenu. And the Dayon came and took the Mashkon from the Malva. Now the Malva was someone that had money really coming to him. This Dayon, this judge, came and took the Mashkon, the security that the Malva was holding onto, and gave it to the Lova, gave it to the borrower, thereby exempting the borrower from paying cash, from paying up his debt. So what does this illustrate? This illustrates a case of Zika Esachayov, a physical action which helps to exonerate someone, in this case the borrower, who really still has a debt upon him, was really still chayav. Timei es hatohar, that can easily be understood as in a case of nosa v'nosa biyad, where a judge ruled as tomei, something that really is not tomei. The aga behu sheretz, the judge took a dead sheretz creature and touched it to the, let's say, the fruits under question, and by touching it, so he's definitely making them tamei, when in fact they had not been tamei beforehand. Tihir es tamei, to metahir something that really is tamei. Well, how do you have nosa v'nosam biyad in a case like that? So the Gemara explains, she'irvon im peirosav. The judge took the fruit in question that he declares as tohor, he was tihir, and he throws them in with the rest of the rest of his fruits. The other fruits are still in fact tohor, but in reality the fruit in question was tamei. So what did he do? He was in effect metama the other fruits that had been tor beforehand. Rashi explains this: she'irvon im perosav shehevi taros lefonav lishalem. Fruit that was supposedly tor was brought to be ruled upon. The omar tahoros, and the judge said, "Oh, those are tahor." V'nodlon hu atzmo, the judge took those fruits that he just ruled upon as being tor, v'irvon im peirosav shel nishal, and he then mixed them with the rest of the fruits of the questioner. L'sof omar chocham mumche, after a while an expert sage said, tameos hein, those fruits were really tomei. The tumu es ashar, and they communicated tumah to the rest of the fruits, shinis arvu ben, those others that they were mixed in with. So that's how the Gemara understands the case of tir es atome, with physical involvement. Before going further into the next Mishnah, we have a topic heading, Maisa she Rabbi Tarfon, an incident involving Rabbi Tarfon, that he was ta'a, that he issued an erroneous ruling, v'hitrif pora shenitlo horechem shela, and Rabbi Tarfon declared as a trefa, a firstborn, or an animal. He declared an animal as a trefa, an animal whose rechem, whose uterus, had been removed. V'lamrois shetan, even though he made a mistake, because the removal of a uterus does not make it into a trefa, so that even though he ruled erroneously, eino chayov l'shalem. Rabbi Tarfon is not guilty of compensating. He doesn't have to offer restitution. Why not? Well, mipnei shehoya mumche l'rabim, because he was a certified expert and was as such he is exempted from having to pay. And mipnei shato b'dvar mishnah, his error was an error in concerning that which is spelled out black on white on in a Tanaic source, in a mishnah. Let us not make any mistake. Rabbi Tarfon himself is a Tana. He's from the Mishnaic period. However, there are Mishnayos that are ancient, that were very well known, and a mistake concerning something like that, that's in such an authoritative source, is considered a non-ruling. And as a result of that, it's not as if he ruled something incorrect. Rather, the ruling doesn't exist. And as a result of that, he is exempt. Now, let us see the Gemara. The Mishnah, Umaisa Bepora Shenitlo Ha'em Shela. Aim is a uterus, a rechem. A case involving a cow whose aim was removed. Vehechila Rabbi Tarfon Leklovim. Rabbi Tarfon ruled that it was a trefa, and as a result of his ruling that it's this uterus lacking cow is a trefa, it was then fed to the dogs. The animal was considered a loss. Uba maisa lifnei chachomim biyavne v'tirua. The same case came to the chachomim in the city of Yavne, which was the seat of the great assembly and sages and Torah, center of Torah learning, and they ruled that it's not a trefa. Omar toidois haroife, ein pora v'chazira yoytzim me'asav shem Yisrael. You don't have any cows or pigs that leave Alexandria, a place that these animals were raised. Shein choytchin ho'ein shela b'shvil shelo tele. In Alexandria of Egypt, they wanted to protect their merchandise. They raised high quality cows and pigs. And in order to maintain their control of the market of these high quality animals, any female animal that was sold without any reproductive possibility. Hence, they're guarding the market on these. Now, these animals were sold, these female animals were sold with removed uteruses. So you see clearly that the animal is not going to die from that. This can't be a trefa. Omar Rabbi Tarfon, holcho chamorcho tarfon. Chamorcho is he's referring to himself. He says, though he's speaking in a second person, he's saying that there goes my donkey. In other words, Rabbi Tarfon's reaction was from the fact that he caused someone to lose his para, he'll have to offer them compensation in the form of a donkey. So he says, well, there goes my donkey. Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Tarfon, Potter ata, you are exempt. You don't have to offer compensation. Sha'ata mumcha lebeizdin. You're considered a court-sanctioned expert. The rule is that anyone that is considered certified as an expert judge is exempt in the case of an erroneous ruling. The Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah feature Rabbi Tarfon's exemption based on his being considered an expert? The tapuk lay the tall bidvar Mishnah who vatoya bidvar Mishnah choser. This is an example of a mistake. Which is a mistake whose correct ruling is found in Mishnayos. And the rule is that one who makes an error concerning something that's, we'll say, so basic in knowing, so basic of knowledge, that he does not have to compensate. So why does the Mishnah feature the exemption of Rabbi Tarfon based on his being a mumcha l'rabim when the issue of a uterus-free animal is featured in Mishnayos, in Maseches Chulin, where we see that it is not a trefa? So the Gemara answers, Chada v'od ka'omar lei. Rabbi Akiva was telling Rabbi Tarfon actually both of these points. Chada b'ta b'dvar Mishnah at. First of all, your mistake concerned information found in a Mishnah. The Oid, and furthermore, Inami Bishikul Hadas To'isa, even if your error had been not a Devar Mishnah, but something based on Shikul Hadas. The expression Shikul Hadas, Rashi explains based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, if you would have had a controversy concerning something that there's no formal ruling on. However, the general practice is like one of the two sides in a particular controversy, and a judge comes and rules contrary to the general practice. So Rabbi Akiva is telling Rabbi Tarfon that even if the mistake had been in something called Shikul Hadas, that two would have been reason for exemption. V'chol ha-mumche le-beis-din potur mi-le-shalem. And as a result of Rabbi Tarfon having been, in fact, an expert in judgment, in the event that he made the mistake, he is exempt. So, on two grounds, Rabbi Tarfon enjoys this exemption. One, that his mistake was a Dvar Mishnah, and secondly, because he was a certified mumche. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.